First Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 12. No, 13. Where did we stop? I don't remember.
Admonish you.
Yeah, admonish, we're done.
We're done with admonish? Yeah, we mostly studied it. Wow. This is me rustling paper.
Fascinating.
There were two ways that admonish is used. It's used to warn or to cause people to remember something. All right, verse 13, verse 12 again. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Esteem is... it's another word I can't pronounce, but it has two meanings. One is to lead the mind through a reasoning process to a conclusion or to account. Let me just talk about me for a moment. You're not to esteem me highly for any other reason than the work's sake. The 12 years that it went through, going through every word of the Bible, all of that effort, that whatever it was. But that's the only reason that I would be worthy of any esteem is because of that. And the only thing you follow in me is faith. Because when Paul says, you know, be like him, he's not talking about anything other than his faith. And when we esteem anybody that's over you, you're only esteeming them for their work's sake. Does that make sense?
To say it any other way would deny everything you've learned.
Right. It's like when I remember when that professor from Dallas Theological Seminary, that is a friend of ours now, and we interviewed him in the door. He spent a whole afternoon with me and looking at, you know, all those notebooks, and he said, "You have several PhDs here." I mean, and for me that was kind of important because as I have no credentials for anything, and so he was esteeming me for the work's sake. Not for anything about me. Amen? To esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Well, let's look at a couple other... Let's look at a couple others.
And that reminds me of the scripture in Acts where the Bereans were commended because they...
Search the scriptures daily to see whether these things be true. That's the only time Paul ever commended anybody. All right, let's look at some esteem. Let's go to Philippians 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem the other better than themselves. So that is universal. You esteem the other person more highly than you do yourself. And that's something that can't be faked. What, Gary?
Well, it's tautological in the sense that, you know, if you see yourself or reckon yourself dead, you don't esteem yourself in any dimension
right.
at all. So any esteeming of another at all would be higher than
Amen. You. And then verse 4 continues the same concept. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And that means you try to improve their situation rather than yours. That's what that word means. Look not in your own things. All right? Now let's go to Philippians 3. No, let's go to verse 6. Tautological, it means in order, it's logic. It's a logical outcome in the order of whatever was said before. Okay, wait a minute. Let's not go to that one. Let's go to verse chapter 3 of Philippians. Now, wait a minute. Oh, I know it is. Go back to chapter 2, verse 6. Well, we read verse 4, so we might as well read 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, thought it not something to be grasped. The concept is that, I mean, the word here, for thought is the same base word for esteem. So he esteemed it, or in the thought process, he thought it not something to be grasped, to be equal with God, because though he was, but he did something else. He emptied himself. He made himself of no reputation. Kino, empty. All right? Then in chapter 3, verse 7,
too, is so obvious that he had no connection to the world, so why would he want to be well known in the world system?
No, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God,
yeah,
even though he was.
But he made himself of no reputation. I mean, he didn't seek the approval of men.
Right. The as son of man, you know, he was son of God and son of man. As son of man, his temptation is something that we know nothing of, because his temptation was to use the incredible powers that he had to solve men's issues and problems and to be made king of the world. All right? Now, this next one is interesting. He's talking about himself. He says in verse 4, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law of Pharisee, and concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Again, counted there is accounted. Means in the same word, esteem. So those things that were gained to me, I, through logical form of thought, he what? He saw that any gain to him was a loss to Christ. Remember when, I mean, this is for everything. This is in every area. It sounds so righteous to say, well, I want to know more about the Bible, or I want anything, or I want to be more like Christ, or I want it. Whatever it is you want to be, then if you're saying that
those are really good ones to me.
That you, but that would be a loss to Christ.
Yeah, you got to go there because that's the closest you can get to the best man can come up with to achieve. Oh, I want to be more like Christ. What higher thing can you say? And then that turns out to be the worst thing.
Yeah, well, we had, that reminds me of God, who was the Dean of Students at Christ for the Nations?
Garlock.
John Garlock was on a talk show, and he was talking about making Jesus Christ his role model, and that's what the listeners should do. And I called in and I read the scripture, and we had fun afterwards. All right, everybody understand, anything that's a gain to you is a loss to Christ. Everything and anything. How can that be? Well, because it is. Now, that makes no sense. It makes absolutely no sense if you're looking at life from the standpoint of a Gentile mind. You've got to do all things, a lot of things to get, do, be, da, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you get to talk louder.
Oh, for example, a scientist who creates a cure for some disease. When I think of it in that context, I go, well, that holy thing.
Yeah,
doesn't fit. But if you're flipping houses or you're doing something just for yourself or your I think you know what I'm trying to say. That's where I sometimes.
Yeah.
If your motives were pure, then I'm getting the mind into it now.
If your motives are pure, then you're really screwed.
Okay. We don't want this to be true.
No, stop, and judge everything by it is finished, it is perfect. You've been perfected by one offering. You own all things. Okay, therefore, that's in Him. So therefore, any attempt to gain something is a loss to Him. Doesn't matter how wonderful or how beautiful or how useful. Okay? All right, let's look at...
Let's look at one more second about people who have grand charitable ideas like feed the children. There's nothing wrong with feeding the children, but if you're doing it for righteousness' sake...
Even if you're not doing it for righteousness' sake, rating anything you do as better than something else that you do, then you're esteeming. You're not esteeming that it would be a loss to Christ. It's either Him as all and in all, or nothing, or you trying to do something. The dividing line is clear.
That's why bottom line is you just have to be. You can't judge it because you can't make the right judgment.
Right. Go down. Okay, well, let's stay in there. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count, esteem, all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus, of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. No. The highest, the best you can do, he still counts it as dung. Amen? So it sort of does away with a lot of thought processes here.
This is the road to emptiness.
All right, let's go to it down. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 3. And again, we're talking about what you do through a lot, what your mind would do through a logical course of events from what you know. So it's starting verse 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him, esteem him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Okay? So count, it's used, it's hard to sometimes think about esteem because of what baggage we have with that word. But to esteem just means to account. But it has the predicate is to lead your, that's what's happened through a logical point of reasoning from the standpoint of Christ, the mind of Christ, okay? All right, let's go a couple more. Hebrews 11. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And remember that. This is a biggie because the son of Pharaoh's daughter was a title. That means he was heir to the throne. He was to be the next Pharaoh. Son of Pharaoh's daughter. Okay? Keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's king of the world there, right?
Yeah. Well, king of what? Of Egypt.
The known universe at this point.
So, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, we know that that's the way God looked at it. The way we would look at it is he got kicked out because he killed an Egyptian soldier. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. Now, you can't get much higher than this. Just think of the good you could do. That would be the rationale. Let's think of the good he could do for his people if he were Pharaoh. You see, you cannot have in mind the benefit of men. Otherwise, you'll be seduced off the mercy seat. And you'll have an investment in the outcome.
Say that again, please.
You'll be seduced off the mercy seat.
Before that.
You cannot have in mind the benefit of man.
You can never have in mind, your mind, whatever you're doing, as for the benefit of men. Or to please men. For if they yet pleased men, now you will please men in many things that you do, but that's not your
motivation.
We can't trust ourselves with our motivation?
No.
Is that the point?
Yeah, the test is if you have an investment in what's going to happen, the best way you can tell is that something you've worked very hard on fails and you get all upset about it. then what you're doing and had been doing was not as unto the Lord, but it was unto you, because you had an investment in the outcome. Now, you got to think about this one a minute. For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. All right? Okay, let's go to 2 Peter. Just take a, go to the right a few pages. Now, let's go to James first. That's just before that. James 1. This is the one that'll get you. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or testings.
What chapter? James chapter 1?
James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it, esteem it, the highest joy when you fall into diverse afflictions, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So again, this one is, you don't esteem it when everything is wrong, when you're in the middle of afflictions. Again, that's why everything in the universe is to see if there's anything that can pull you off the mercy seat.
I just noticed the word count there. It's like you're not going to change the way you feel, but you can do your accounting. You can say this must be, or you can place it in that category, which you're still going to feel oppressed or depressed or whatever. You reckon?
Well, you do as a child. Okay.
I need to hear the words.
As they go out there.
As they go out there.
That was a good word. We need to play that back so you can cut
the 2 Peter 3. To the right, just a couple more pages. Second Peter 3, let's start in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, and to think that they should be able to have their emotions. No, never mind. Never mind. Let's start over again. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, or a new land, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account or esteem that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now, this is like the ultimate test. Count the long suffering of our Lord as salvation. This is the only way that you will know the fear of God. You can know the fear of man. and your fear toward God is taught by the precept of men. But until you know, you remember this great quote, and I'm not going to quote it exactly, but it's from Luther. He said, until you know that every thought that you think is pounding the thorns into the head of Christ, and every work that you do is pounding the nails into his hands, and every place that you think you have to go is pounding the nails into his feet. Therefore, the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Can everybody get a handle on that for a minute? You see that we really don't know much.
Crucifying the flesh.
Count the blood. We account, there's another one. We account the blood. We trample it underfoot and count the blood of Christ as an unholy thing. Account, esteem. All right. This thing, again, this is a pretty wild description of the end. Has anybody ever studied the I Ching?
The what? I Ching.
I Ching. Both the I Ching and the Mayan calendar. The world and the universe ends at 2012. That's pretty interesting. There's no more, both their calendars, they end at 2012. That should give us pause. If you think about such things. All right, that's enough on esteem. And we're done. I thought we'd get to verse 13 or 14 or wherever we are. That's what I get for thinking. That's right. Take it big time.